And now the game where people who do one thing really well are asked to do something else entirely. Joining me now is a Chicagoland native, Jeremy Piven. His early roles include one of the guys at the Gas and Sip and Say Anything. It means nothing except to those of a certain generation to whom it means everything. Most of us know him for crushing it as Ari Gold on the HBO show Entourage, and he's now starring as the title character in the PBS series Mr. Selfridge. We have a clip from that show. Mr. Selfridge, that is simply not how we do it here in England. Wow.
So we've exceeded our clip budget, have we?
Yeah. We didn't get the rights. Hello, Jeremy. How are you?
By the way, that's the way they should do clips from now on.
Yeah. Jeremy, I know that your parents ran a theatrical workshop for many years here in Chicago. Would I qualify?
You would begin at the bottom, indeed.
So Ari Emanuel, that's who Ari Gold was based on, the super agent Ari Emanuel. I assume you've met him. Now, when you do, playing a real person or someone based on a real person, what's your strategy? Do you try to, like, pick up things from his performance that you could use in yours, or do you try to wall off the two and keep them separate?
Well, if you're lucky enough to have the genuine article right in front of you, you steal everything you can from them. And I was lucky enough to have him as my agent for a while. And so, you know, agents hold the key to our livelihood. I mean, they're the ones that connect with the writers, directors, producers, studios, and whatnot. So we're in constant contact with them. So unbeknownst to me, I was doing my research for all those years as an actor, you know, observing Ari Emanuel. And, you know, he is, you know, brilliant and driven, ambitious, reactive, overly emotionally invested human being.
You know what? I just want to go back to for a second, Jeremy.
Yes.
You're supposed to talk to your agent every day?
Yeah.
I do a radio show about once a month on NPR. Are you supposed to talk to your agent more? Well, maybe that's what I'm not doing right.
Well, listen, you get your agent's attention when you can. And it just is kind of ironic that, you know, I was a guy who was probably 40 movies into my career, totally under the radar when I started Entourage. And actually, after the second season, I won the Fresh Face of the Year award at 37.
Wow. Boy, you must have been under the radar. I had no idea you had done 40 films.
Yeah,
wait, what were they?
Exactly. Well, you know, movies like Black Hawk Down with Ridley Scott and Singles and Say Anything and,
you know,
Family Man with Nick Cage. And I actually could do all of them for you if I was there. But
we have clips.
Well, Jeremy, now you're living in London. We hear that you've met the royal family. What was that like?
You know, I every year I go to this polo match, and Prince Harry and William play in this game, and they're ridiculously good. So good that I had to ask the players afterwards, are you letting them score on you? And they said, no, that these guys are really that good. And these guys, they're playing in a pro league, and they're scoring. So they're great at what they do. Prince Harry afterwards kept calling me Ari, and it was a little awkward. But, you know, I don't know what the rules are over there, so I thought I could be beheaded. So I never corrected him.
If they say it, they're right. It becomes law. That's a good thing about them.
Indeed. But those guys are incredibly humble, and there's a reason why they're loved. I mean, they're really totally present. Cool people that just happen to be royalty.
Oh, yeah.
You say it like you know.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's my experience.
Tell us about Mr. Selfridge. I've seen a few episodes. My parents have seen them all. They love this. I guess I'm telling you what the PBS demographic is, but it's about this London department store guy. So what is he, like an equivalent of the guy from the Men's Warehouse? What are we talking about here?
No, he's incredibly fashionable. He basically helped to invent the department store. He made his bones at Marshall Fields there in the Midwest, in Chicago. He's a guy that came up with those big windows that we all see in the department stores now. He came up with the idea, the phrase, the customer is always right, you know, 200 days till Christmas, bargain basement sales. Those were all his concepts. And instead of competing against Marshall Fields, he went over to London in 1908 and built this mecca to shopping. And he's a guy who between 9 and 5 was kind of brilliant in what he did, and then at night he was a slave to his urges and his demons and was a disaster. I'm about to start season 4, and we'll kind of draw the whole thing to a conclusion. And the Brits do it differently. It's a very finite amount of time they want to shoot, and they feel like they can get the series done in that amount of time, as opposed to, you know, doing 14 seasons of Two and a Half Men. You know, they go about it differently.
Well, anyway, Jeremy Piven, you mentioned that your character, Mr. Selfridge, invented a phrase, and based on that, we have invited you to play a game that we're calling
The Customer is Always Wrong.
Oh, Jesus.
So Mr. Selfridge, as head of the Selfridge Department Store, popularized or coined the phrase, the customer is always right. We've discovered that's not always true. Answer 3 questions about customers really blowing it, and you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl Kassel's voice on their voicemail. Bill, who's Jeremy Piven playing for?
Michael Palagonia, formerly of Phoenix, but currently living in Abu Dhabi.
All right, Jeremy, here's your first question. Despite their smug confidence, even Apple customers can be wrong, as in which of these real incidents at an Ohio Apple store? A, in 2009, a customer frustrated with his iPhone pulled out a gun and threatened to shoot it. B, in 2011, a woman confused at the concept of the Genius Bar refused to leave until they served her a genius drink. C, in 2008, a man was charged with destruction of property after setting the iPod display table on fire, yelling, "Zune forever." What really happened, do you think, Jeremy?
I think that setting it on fire is what we all want to do. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I know that we do have a problem with guns.
Mm-hmm.
But I think realistically we have to go with B.
B, huh? Because, you know, this was an Ohio, USA, America type reaction to a frustration. So you'd say B?
He's got a funny look on his face, Jeremy.
We do indeed have a problem with the accessibility of handguns.
And you are correct. It was the gun.
Wow. Well played.
Yes, yes. Luckily, Donald Goodrich was wielding a Glock 4, and the Glock 5s had just come out, so the old gun just stopped working. All right, here's the second question, Jeremy. Last year, a British woman, unhappy with her haircut, responded by calling the police. How did they respond to this situation? A, rushing to the store to tell her that her hair, quote, looks fantastic. B, sending a sketch artist to provide the hairstylist with an image of what the woman should have looked like. And C, arresting the hairstylist until the woman's hair grew back. What do you think it was?
I think it was the sketch artist.
You think it was the sketch artist?
Boy, I'm going to stick close to you during the lightning round.
Yeah, me too.
Well, let me ask you, what was A again?
A was rushing to the store to tell her that her hair, quote, looks fantastic.
I think that could be the only possible option.
It was A.
This is uncanny.
5 police officers responded to the distress call. 5. After Susanna Zayron refused to pay for her dye job, the officers did their best to convince Mrs. Zayron that she looked great, that neon blue really fit her winter color palette. All right, last question, Jeremy. Just this week, a Texas Whataburger customer may have taken things too far when he did what? A, angrily demand breakfast at dinner time, quote, like any self-respecting fast food restaurant would provide. B, he decorated his truck to look like a police cruiser, and using the lights and sirens, skipped the drive-through line. Or C, walked out with 85 balls from the playground ball pit in his pants. What do you think he did?
I want it to be C.
The ball's in the pants, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Uh-huh.
So why can't I just go with C?
I'm going to let you go with C. You ready to go with C, Jeremy?
Yes.
It's B. It's the police car. Michael Chico was enjoying his Whataburger. I mean, how could you not? It is right there in the name, Whataburger. When a real police officer pulled him over and said, "Nice truck, I'm with you. These burgers are great." No, I'm kidding. He arrested the guy.
Wow.
All right, Bill, how did Jeremy do?
Well, we let you go with C because if you get 2 out of 3, you're still a winner. And you are 2 out of 3.
Yay!
Congratulations. Jeremy Piven is starring in Mr. Selfridge on PBS. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Jeremy. See ya. Just try.